You're listening to the Meadows Podcast on the Porch, hosted by Bob Arnold and friends. We've begun a new series called The Great Sadness, where we hear people's stories about loss, pain, and suffering, and how God works through such tragedies. Starting on September 20th, we'll be offering a four-week introductory course on the Enneagram, a spiritual roadmap to discover your true self. After that is the Spiritual Development Forum, a four-week workshop series to develop a deeper divine intimacy. Both series will take place at Grace Fellowship Church in Timonium, Maryland. To sign up for upcoming events and learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org.
Well, welcome back to The Meadows Podcast, and we're back on the porch, and as you know, we're talking about the great sadness, and today, I'm going to talk about just a great sadness that entered my life and the life of my family. It was clearly the most devastating time of my life. 13 years ago, Jeannie and I received the most horrible news. That dreaded phone call that all of us, every parent, fears. The coroner from Myrtle Beach called and told us that our oldest daughter, Marcy, was dead. It was like a dream, a very bad dream. This one phone call changed everything. I had awakened when the phone rang. I went to the bathroom and I heard in the back room Jeannie nearly screaming, frantic. I'm thinking it was a late night prank. I heard Jeannie say, "Who are you? Why are you saying this? Marcy's not dead." And when I came back into the room, Jeannie gave me the phone. The voice on the other side said, "This is the coroner from Horry County in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I am at your daughter's apartment. We have found her dead. Her friends have been calling the police for the past 24 hours, trying to report a missing person. She didn't report to work today. They knew something was wrong. She never missed work without calling. We broke into her apartment and found her here. She's been dead for a few days." The coroner made himself available. "Call me anytime." We hung up. Immediately, I was in shock. It was sudden. It was final. There was no negotiation. We couldn't hope that maybe someday she would get better. There was no hope. It was a thud to the depth of my soul. Then Julie, our youngest daughter, came upstairs. She had heard the commotion upstairs. She was the closest to Marcy. We told her what we just heard. She began to scream, to sob. "No, not Marcy." What could we do? All that was left was the cold, lonely emptiness of learning of the death of your daughter. A beautiful young daughter, and we heard this in the middle of the night. Nothing was left but a long, dark, lonely night. And to make matters worse, we were 8 hours from Myrtle Beach. We didn't have the phone number of any of her friends. We had no contacts in Myrtle Beach. We had no way to find out what happened. What were Marcy's last days were like? How was she now dead? It felt cold, hard, empty beyond belief. Surely this couldn't be true. The pain was so bad I had to get away. 10 years ago, when I heard that my brother had died suddenly, I went for a walk by myself. So I went out to walk, and as I looked up into the sky, I saw a full moon, and next to it was a star bright and shining. I knew that God was telling me that the star represented Marcy. I couldn't understand what it meant, but I knew and felt some comfort from the star and its closeness to the moon. And still, the pain and the shock was so deep, so hurting, I couldn't get away from it. Why did this happen now, in the loneliness in the middle of the night, when there was no one to talk to, no one to call, no one to find out what happened? No way to find out what happened. Now there was nothing I could do but wait. I could only walk a short distance, then I had to go back to the house. I thought about who could I call and what would I say? How do you tell someone that your daughter just died? Who could I call and count on in this moment? I just couldn't call and disturb anyone with this news in this time of the night, and the pain was too great to let anyone in. It was different for Julie, fortunately. She immediately called her best friend, Lindsay. Her and Lindsay had been best friends since birth. Lindsay's parents had also been her best friends. Within a short time, Lindsay, her father, and our good friend Jim Gorman were at our house. There was nothing that anybody could do. There was nothing that anybody could say. We all knew that. What occurred was way too big to trivialize. There's no quick fixes that God had everything under control and that Marcy was now with Jesus. Nothing could fill the massive vacuum that now filled our souls. Fortunately, Jim and Gary knew that. I didn't want to hear anything about God. There was no hope. All that had just occurred was final. I couldn't think of anything. The finality of death was overwhelming. We set for what felt like hours. Once in a while, someone would try to say something. It was futile. The pain was overwhelming, and it was compounded by Julie and Jeannie's pain. How was this possible? Was it a dream that would be over in the morning? Our life had now changed. How could we manage the days, the hours, the weeks, and the years ahead?